Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. On this edition of The Front Row, we have part two of our interview with David Becker and Rick Biela of the Texas Tech University School of Music, both of whom are retiring this year, so it's kind of a bittersweet thing for us, but they have a great way to go out. There's a big concert coming up in New York featuring many members of the Texas Tech University School of Music, their students, led by these two wonderful musicians. David Becker, let me begin with you. How did the idea of doing a performance in New York with the School of Music, how did that come up?
The entire idea and the genius belongs to Professor Rick Biela.
Okay.
We decided 2 years ago that we would do 2 years of combined orchestra choir. Last year we did the Carmina Burana in the Convention Center in Lubbock, and we already decided that we would do the Brahms Requiem. With Professor Biela's connection with the management company in New York, they invited not only the university choir, but most unusually, they invited the chamber orchestra from Texas Tech to come along for the performance. I'm just absolutely delighted that our students, and the orchestra students particularly, have a chance to have it, to do this great masterwork with Professor Rick Biela. But the idea, the concept, his unusual genius of programming, all belongs to Professor Biela.
Okay. But you're going along too? You're conducting, yes?
I'm simply carrying his bag and his music and get his coffee for him.
Right. But you've done a lot to prepare the orchestra, sure.
I spent some time with the orchestra, so when he comes in, he doesn't have to worry about B-flat or B-natural, but the beautiful music making all takes place with Rick Biela.
Right.
Can I just augment that preparation? I told this to his face, but after three rehearsals of watching in detail his exquisite work with the orchestra, I turned to him and said, with tears in my eyes, really, that he should conduct this work. His masterful work with strings is and everyone is just profoundly influencing how his work is moving forward, and obviously continually reforming as we go through this refining process as well, but continually an influence and an inspiration.
Right. So the TTU Chamber Orchestra and the University Choir will go to New York at the end of May, is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And perform what venue?
We meet in Dallas on May 24th.
Mm-hmm.
25th, and we do have a rehearsal there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the first time that the Chamber Orchestra and the University Choir rehearse together. We have already performed this in Lubbock, but with the full symphony orchestra and with all the choirs of Texas Tech. So this will be the first time that we have a chance to have these two premier ensembles working together. Then we fly the next day to New York, and we have the incredible blessing of playing in Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
The choir has been distinguished by doing a lot of national touring. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time that the orchestra has done national touring. We were invited, and they have been invited, to the TMEA convention in San Antonio. But this is the first time that I think the orchestra has gone to New York. So it's such a great honor for us. And to do it with this choir and with this conductor is a great pleasure.
Right. You mentioned the Brahms Requiem. This is, I mean, this is one of the top masterpieces of orchestral and choral oratorio. It's really, really fantastic. Have you done it before?
I have been involved in preparing the orchestra before. I've never conducted the work. But and I'll let Rick tell you about the details, but I do remember sitting at the dining room table one evening, which is kind of common for us, and throwing ideas at each other. And all of a sudden, he jumped up out of the chair and said, May 29th, May 30th, 1868, oh my gosh, do you realize what happened on that day? And he gets into General John Logan, who decided that we need to recognize the 160,000 soldiers that were just killed recently in the Civil War, and we need now to recognize these great heroes. And he's walking around the table, and he's excited, and he realizes that Brahms just wrote this piece that he was actually going to subtitle or call the Human Requiem as opposed to a Roman Catholic mass. Mm-hmm. And he's so excited, and he's writing down, we're writing all these ideas down. And that turned into this idea of we will be doing the Brahms Requiem in New York. But again, that's the genius of Biello.
Well, the coincidence was really, and it was. It was a happening when our wives were out of town, and the two of us were sitting at dinner at his place and getting this opportunity to see the coherence and the connections between the American tragedy and this idea of mourning the living and also honoring and blessing the living, honoring the dead, and all of that through the connection of actually performing this on Memorial Day in New York City. It's really, it hasn't gone unnoticed by our students either, that connection. So we're anxious to make that groundwork for not only having the blessing of doing this in Alice Tully Hall, where we are sort of at hallowed ground, realizing the New York Symphony is there, realizing all the great artists have performed there. This has a way of raising the game, as we experienced together even in 2010 when we were in Carnegie Hall. I mean, I remember that feeling that the choir raised their game. I'm certain that everybody will be lifted to a new level of music making, right, just being inspired by the space as well.
Right, right. Yeah. I've done a couple of tours with you, and I know exactly what you're talking about. That's right. You get into a venue like Carnegie or Orchestra Hall Chicago, and everything ramps up.
Yeah.
It all comes to a new level. Yeah, and I'm certain that'll happen this time.
Yeah, I think, Clint, significant is the fact that this is a non-denominational mass, which I think is even more relevant for this Memorial Day. It's not the five-movement Roman Catholic Mass. It's actually seven. He added two movements to this piece. I'm fascinated because when I read about Brahms' revisions of his works, usually after the first rehearsal, his score was totally changed. He added instrumentation. He deleted instrumentation. He extended transitions. So the work was not what they read at the first rehearsal. Even after the first performances, the publishers were troubled because he was constantly making revisions. And that's what's fascinating for us as conductors, to explore what was the original and where did it wind up at the end, because he was never satisfied. As performers, as recreators, we are never satisfied. He was not with the notes he put on the page.
Yeah.
I mean, a funny story about when they just did the first three movements, when he had only partially completed it. And the third movement has this timpani roll for some 150 measures, whatever, this ground D. And evidently in the performance, he had not put in the score for the timpani to be piano. And so the timpani sort of overtook the presentation. So the reviews were, sounds like you're going through a tunnel on a train and all we're hearing is this rumble. What is this music? Right. Which is probably one of the great fugues of all time. Right. Terms of what actually is on the page, but the realization of making some right. added corrections right. and well, additions are
and,
important.
And that's interesting on a couple of levels, because there are the changes that are made once you see how something sounds in a rehearsal or you know, if you are the forces that you have, then you can make a lot of changes. A lot of composers doing that. But he also had a big personal thing in that his mother died. Mm-hmm. And so he added a whole movement about that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the fifth movement, which is going to be sung by Rebecca Hayes, is indeed just soprano solo with a cursory look at the chorus of secondary importance. Close secondary importance is the orchestra. Chorus is really relatively insignificant in that movement, but a powerful, consoling movement that actually brings full shape to the symmetry that Brahms did so amazingly between 1 and 7, obviously, and we see that parallel, and there's parallels between 2 and 6, and 3 and 5, and 4 being a centerpiece that's often pulled out because of its great holistic experience. Evidently, at the premiere, at the Bremen premiere, in the fourth movement, there was people in tears that just couldn't believe the beauty of that particular movement. So all of that, when I think our students will get this sense of the history and of the power of this work to transcend an experience that we hope they have in that moment, but hopefully they'll take with them for a lifetime of thinking about how this affects all of their other work that they would do, regardless of if they become a professional musician or not.
And Clint, so often people will program an additional work at the beginning of the German Requiem.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that Biela is recognized nationally as an expert in choral programming. But we are doing a very special piece at the beginning of this program.
Yes, well, we're as many are aware of the Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber, mm-hmm. Which is happens to start in a very solemn fashion, is often reflections of war, of the lament of war, of lament of loss of human life. Barber himself set this for chorus, a cappella chorus, mm-hmm. called it the Agnus Dei, Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, grant us peace. And that is all precursor, finishing in a glorious F major cadence, which actually starts the work for the Brahms. So we have a 6-minute prelude with the Agnus Dei by Samuel Barber, as a prelude to the event that will be the Brahms Requiem as well.
What a wonderful programming. Absolutely. Well, it's difficult to say goodbye to the two of you, and we certainly wish you the best as you go into the next chapter of your lives, and we certainly hope that the New York performances of the German Requiem will be a great valedictory moment for the two of you. We certainly wish you the best.
Clint, I must say, your presence in Lubbock and the community is absolutely invaluable. I can't thank you enough for all you do.
Amen. And as a personal friend and mentor to me during the first 6 years with the University Choir, I have to not only second that, but give you singular praise for your musicianship, your artistry behind the behind all of these interviews, and your gift to the community is phenomenal. So well, inspiring to us, both of us.
Well, that feeling's very mutual for all of you. So anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
More information on the New York performance of the Brahms Requiem performed by the Texas Tech Chamber Orchestra and University Choir is at music.ttu.edu. This episode of The Front Row will be available later today on our website, kttz.org. Thanks for tuning in to The Front Row. Here on Texas Tech Public Radio, I'm Clint Barrick.